please rise for prayer. Heavenly Father, you have been so gracious with us and our families in many and various ways in the past. And yet we have failed to stop and take the time and effort to thank you for the many things and the abilities that you have showered upon us. Please help us here this day to truly appreciate every good and generous, gracious gift as a gift that is from your hand. Help us to correctly thank you with our hearts and lips and voices. And please help us to go and tell others who are still in need, like modern-day lepers, about the healing and forgiveness that is found in your Jesus, your suffering, death, and resurrection alone. It is in Christ Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. Our meditation for this Thanksgiving Day is especially focusing upon our Old Testament lesson, which was previously read. I would like to read a few of those verses from Deuteronomy chapter 8. God humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. When you have eaten and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Maybe you have heard the story about a woman who had been shopping at the mall and she stopped for a break. She had purchased a little bag of cookies and put them in her shopping bag. She got in line for coffee and found a place to sit at one of the crowded tables, of course, at this time of year. And having taken the lid off of her coffee, she took out a magazine and began to sip her coffee and read. Across the table from her was a man who sat reading a newspaper. After a minute or two, she reached out and took a cookie, and as she did, the man seated across the table reached out and took one too. This kind of ticked her off, but she didn't say anything. A few minutes later, she took another cookie, and once again, the man also did so. Now she was getting a little more upset, but still, she didn't say anything. After having a couple of sips of coffee, she once again took another cookie, and so did the man. She was really upset by this, especially since now there was only one cookie left. Apparently, the man also realized that there was only one remaining, but before she could say anything, he took it and broke it in half, gave half to her, and ate the other half himself. Then he smiled at her, tucked the paper under his arm, stood up, and walked away. Boy, was she upset. She felt as if her coffee break was ruined. She thought about how she would tell her family what had happened. She folded her magazine in disgust, and as she opened her shopping bag to stick it in, she discovered her own unopened bag of cookies. She had been so upset toward this other guy, thinking that he was so rude and self-centered, taking what did not rightfully belong to him. And he had not even bothered to say thank you for the treats that she had purchased and paid for. But in all actuality, she was the guilty one all along. And yet he had responded in true graciousness. That story can help to remind us how we too often view the things of this world all around us. We can think about our hard efforts to earn or deserve them, and we get upset when someone or something keeps us from enjoying them as we have planned. Yet everything we have is really only a gift out of God's graciousness. And he so often provides us with more than we really need, even before we ask him. I admit that sometimes I really don't appreciate what I have or act like I know where it has come from. And we each need to be told that again as we hear the words of Moses in our Old Testament lesson. After he had told them about the many blessings that they would receive out of the Lord's graciousness to them, how they would eat their fill and have fine houses and large herds, and that their silver and gold will multiply. Moses then warns them with the words, "Do not say to yourself, 'My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth,' but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant with which he swore to your fathers as it is today." End quote. God tells us very clearly there in Deuteronomy chapter 8 where everything really comes from. I know that most of us have been told that before, but so often we seem to forget about it in our actions and in our attitudes. Everything that they had and everything that we have is a gift from God. We may have put some effort into receiving that gift, but those very abilities, as well as the hands that we have to receive that gift, really come from God. It doesn't require any great effort to receive a gift on Christmas or on your birthday. We're simply receiving and using what we have been given by the one who loved us enough to give us everything in the first place. As we may be tempted to place an emphasis upon our own work or abilities, I ask that you might want to consider talking to someone who has lost one of these gifts or abilities to walk or work or lift or see. And listen unto their words about how it can all be taken away in the twinkling of an eye. The reason that we still have these is because we have a good and gracious God. And they are gifts to not only be appreciated and used, but they are reasons to truly give thanks unto God. We too often fail to truly appreciate the many good and wonderful gifts that God has continued to provide for us, seeking to instead wish for more. One of the things that I've done when gathering together on one of our ongoing Ambassadors for Christ weekends is I like to ask them to state their name, their age, where they come from, and if they were given one wish, what would they ask for? How about you? A while ago, a magazine had asked many famous people that same question. They received a great many different and interesting responses, but there was one that really impressed the editors. That response was, "I wish that I could be given an even greater ability to appreciate all that I already have." Rather than looking to or asking for more, 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 this person asked for help in appreciating everything that he or she already had been given. I don't know about you, but I can think of many ways and things and people that I have not thanked the Lord for. And there are many people that have touched my life every single day that I have not expressed my appreciations towards. No one likes to be taken for granted. We all like to be appreciated and to be thanked. Do you think the Lord is really different in that area? Listen to those words of Jesus in our gospel lesson after he had healed the 10 lepers from their life-threatening disease. He said, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God?" Each and every one of us has a huge, long list of things that we should be thankful for. And yet we have not followed through with what we have tried to teach unto our children. We try to teach our kids at the earliest ages to make sure to tell people thank you when they're given a gift. Or thank you when someone calls or writes. Or thank you when someone passes something at the table. Or thank you just about any time when we're offered something by someone else. Yet we ourselves have too often not come before the Lord and taken the time to say thank you unto our Heavenly Father who has created us and continues to richly provide for all the wants and needs of our body. He continues to guide and protect us from all harm and danger, visible and invisible, each and every day. Thank you to Jesus Christ our Lord, who set the joys of heaven aside in order to come down and take upon himself our sins, and therefore the punishment that our sins deserved upon a cross. He bore the righteous wrath of God at all of our sins in order that we might be given the forgiveness of them all, in order that we could look forward to the joys of heaven if we believe upon him as our own Savior. Thank you to the Holy Spirit, who called us by name at our baptism and who brought that saving faith of the complete work of Jesus Christ in his suffering and death and resurrection inside of us. He worked there to bring us into the family of God, and it's his continual work through that word that keeps us in it. God told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." He has told us in Ephesians chapter 5, "Give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We might be able to come up with some problems or difficulties in our own lives, but it is in those times, many, that our eyes are opened to how the Lord is especially there in the hour of need. On November 12th, 1620, the pilgrims landed upon the shores of Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts. There were 102 of them to begin with. But during that hard winter, one half of them died. Without food, starving, they had to survive on 5 kernels of corn per day. Those that survived planted crops that next spring with prayers that the Lord would bless their efforts. And when harvest time came, they gathered to give thanks unto God for what he had graciously done for them. In 1929, during the days of the Great Depression, a group of ministers gathered in the northeastern United States. With things as bad as they were and without any real hope or relief in sight, most of them said that they were not planning on preaching about giving thanks unto God. But one pastor stood and said that this was the time to thank the Lord for some of those blessings that were always present, but which were too often overlooked when they had such abundant blessings. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have truly been blessed. I have heard time and time again this year, true story after true story, about how the Lord has come to the aid of his people when and where they were in need. How some were very worried and concerned about what would happen to the crops this year, yet the Lord came through fantastically for so many. How some were so worried with a family member being struck with what appeared to be a terrible illness or disease, yet the Lord was right there beside them. How some were so worried about how they could get it all done. Yet the Lord is the Lord of time and space, and with him, nothing is impossible. God has told us, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Instead of worrying about tomorrow, let us gather today and give thanks unto the Lord our God. Everything that we have, including this very day, is a gift from his hand. He has promised to be with us and to never leave us nor forsake us. He demonstrated that greatest of all love, holding on to our sins even when he was dying upon the cross. He took our place, not because he deserved it, but because he loved us. And by his wounds, we have begun true healing and life. If those 10 lepers had something to be thankful for with their physical healing, and the remaining pilgrims thanked the Lord for how he blessed their crops and lives, then we have so much more to be thankful for because of the forgiveness of all of our sins, which Jesus paid for in his holy and precious blood, shed for you and me upon that cross at Calvary. I know we haven't said our thank yous unto God too often in the past, but today is a new day. And today we will make the most of that opportunity that lies before us. Won't you each, along with your entire families, come forward before the Lord's altar? And as we place our offerings unto the Lord here before him, let us each also stop and say a true and heartfelt thank you for all that he has so lovingly done for and unto us. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his love endureth forever. Amen.